Hey guys, welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we are just a couple of Catholic dads sharing whatever experiences and wisdom that God puts before us with other Catholic dads. So if you know a Catholic dad, it doesn't matter if they might be interested, send them this video, share this link, make sure and like and subscribe, all that jazz, because more Catholic dads need to see this.
We believe that Catholic fatherhood can change the world, and that's what we seek to cultivate. So let's dive right in.
All right. So today, this topic kind of came out of a small group that I'm in, and it was part of our, you know, conversation this morning. It's a quad. It's a Bible study. Just me and three other guys that meet weekly. And one of the things that came up in the conversation was, what is our role as the spiritual head of our household? What is our role, you know, when it gets to the kind of the nitty gritty of our wife's faith life? How involved should we be? How, I don't know, micromanaging, you know, should we be? When we see, you know, different things that we know that the Lord is doing in their lives, like, should we share that? How much of that is our role, and how much of that, like, when, if we were to do that, would we actually get in the way? And so, Chris, like, what are your thoughts, your experiences just starting out with this?
It seems like it's a powder keg about to blow up.
Oh, it just might be.
Yeah. You know, hey, sweetheart, everyone. I've been noticing that you've been a little bit more short with the kids and you haven't been doing these things. So I'm just wondering, do you still even talk to Jesus? Do you even know who he is anymore? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's probably not the best way to go about it.
Right. You mentioned micromanaging, and I don't know if there's any way to encourage that doesn't have that little tinge of Catholic guilt. Yep. That all of a sudden feels like, hey, sweetheart, back up. Like, me and Jesus are good. And then you're like, I don't even have a foot to stand on spiritually. Like, how do we navigate this without creating tension if there's a growth area in your wife's spiritual life that you notice as a man? That's the first thing. And I'm like, whoa, step away from the bomb,
and
you know?
Before we dive further into the content, my guess is this, even though, like, we're talking as Catholic dads, Catholic men, you know, Catholic husbands about this, my guess is this probably works in the reverse as well. There may be nuances, you know, as far as wives talking to their husbands about their faith life that would be different. But my guess is it's probably pretty similar. So even if you're a mom watching this, you probably might be able to glean some insights, you know, on you know, what to do and what not to do with regards
right,
to your husband's faith life.
You challenge your husband on something, or you encourage your husband in an area, and then he gets defensive and you don't talk for 2 days. Like, that's yep. not what we want either. And nope. that can happen both ways. I am blessed to be married to someone that is seeking sainthood. And in a lot of ways,
amen. Me too.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, she's holier than I am. And so yep. it's just like, I'm trying to ride those coattails to heaven. But there are times, particularly on the piece that you just mentioned, when my wife has said, hey, Chris, I would desire your spiritual leadership here.
Yeah.
Right. And in receiving that, I've challenged that, like, just to be vulnerable. We've had conversations to where it's like, well, if you want to follow my leadership here, you also need to follow my leadership over here. And yeah. I'm not seeing a lot of leadership being followed over here. And so it makes me not want to lead over here. And so there's like a bigger issue.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times being able to speak into an aspect, spirituality, of your spouse, there has to be buy-in to other areas.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just that domino effect where you're bringing up other things. And like, that has nothing to do with spirituality, but it has everything to do with leadership and blah, 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 you know, whatever. And so,
you bring up a good point as far as invitation. You know, and so there is a need, even though we are called in a specific leadership role in our families and in our wives' lives, there is still a need for an invitation into that. You know, your wife needs to invite you into that in a certain way. So, like, and that's where you can't, I mean, it's hard, you know, I don't know. But I like what you said, you know, about that whole invitation. Hey, honey, you know, will you do this? I haven't gotten that a whole lot. And I don't know about, you know, other dads who have gotten that a whole lot. My wife's spirituality like is different than mine. And her relationship with the Lord is different than mine, as it should be.
Right.
And your wife's, you know, relationship with the Lord is different than yours. And so just because something feeds you and is the way that you relate to God doesn't mean it's going to be the exact same for your wife. And so like, that's part of like, as far as me tempering my, I don't know what I want to share with my wife. I have to keep that like in mind every single time, you know, just because it works for me doesn't mean it's going to work for her. And yeah.
But the idea, the overarching idea is that our spouses need to know first that they're loved by us.
Amen.
And yep. Then they need to see our desire for spiritual growth as one of the ways, one of the many ways that we seek to love them.
Yep.
Right. If it's a control or, you know, well, I've been doing the Exodus 90 and you're not even praying a daily rosary for 2 hours or whatever it is, you know, like they can't, it can't be out of bitterness or out of comparison or anything like that. But just like, do we even have the conversation? Where's your walk with Jesus? Instead of, I haven't seen your behavior reflecting your walk with Jesus, whether that's your prayer time or whatever. I think we need to recognize this as an extension of love.
Yeah. I think that, you know, you allude to another point as far as setting the example. You know, what does your faith look like? And is it something that the rest of the family can see? Is it something that your wife can see? And even setting the example in, you know, asking your wife, hey, you know, I know that I am not perfect and I never will be. But I want to grow in my, you know, role as a husband, or I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord. Are there any, you know, blind spots that I may have that you have seen? And then that takes a certain degree of humility and vulnerability on behalf of the husband. And like, don't get defensive. Like, that's going to be real hard. Like, at that point, you know, and because you'll want to excuse the behavior. Oh, well, that's why I did this, or this is why I did that. Whatever she shares with you, just say thank you and take it to prayer and then ask God, is this something I need to work on? Because it may or may not be. Like it may not be from the Lord. It may be something from your wife herself, or it may be something different, but take it to God and ask him.
Right.
You know, what about this, you know, do I need to take ownership of? You know, what about this? Do I need to focus on? And God will show you. God will talk to you about that and share that with you.
The splinter in my eye before you remove, or the plank in your eye before you remove the splinter from that type of thing.
Oh yeah. You know, and you're asking, you know, what's the plank in my eye? You know, or what's the splinter in my eye? Whatever it is, you know. And I think that, you know, it won't happen every time, but that it has the potential to open up reciprocity there, you know, where you do that and you show growth, you show change in that area or whatever. And your wife might do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, she may, you know, come back to you and say, that was, you know, really cool or whatever you did. What about me? You know, and then again, you're going to need to be prayerful about this. It's
and
not
humble.
And you need to talk to God about that before you share anything with her, because you're going to have your own annoyances. You're going to have your own peeves that are human, that may have nothing to do with her walk with the Lord. But you'll want to like ask God, like, what is it, you know, that you want me being one of, if not the closest person to my wife, what is it that you want me to share with her? You know, and go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. So Matt and I just both jumped into this thing called the Encounter School of Ministry. And I imagine that you're going to hear about that along the way, because it's a pretty amazing, intensive kind of spiritual school. But my wife is on it as well. She's a part of a podcast and a ministry, and they're going through it together as well. My wife is in the same Zoom session as I am.
Oh,
for
really?
The digital thing. Yeah. and so we're doing the thing, and after it was all said and done, I ran to the other room because we have to be on our own screens, and said, "What did you think?" And she just embraced me, and she was like, "You were so like beautiful, the way that you engaged and did that." They asked me to lead closing prayer and different things like that. But holiness, the point is holiness is attractive.
Yeah.
Like there is something, amen. And I don't just mean like hey.
Hey, baby.
Hey,
how you doing?
But it's like a magnet is attractive. Like, it brings other people to it. And I think that might be the first way we need to reflect on how do we draw our spouse into deeper holiness or deeper spiritual life. First look at ourselves, like you were saying, and try and be that magnet. Try and be that person that's seeking after Jesus and to share, hey, God's working in my life. Could you pray for this? Because I feel God stirring or whatever. And then our spouse will be like, ooh, that if God can work in this schmuck, because our wives know we're schmucks, right? Like, if God can work in this schmuck, then he'll probably be able to work in me. Because really, our wives are the saints for marrying this, you know? Yep. And so I think that there's something about that is, first, let's not lead with our words, but with our actions.
Yeah.
And our actions towards God, not towards our spouse, is where we need to start.
Yeah. So much of this comes down to prayer. And so we're going to probably give that answer to pretty much everything. Ask the Lord. You know, the truth is, your wife is on a journey with the Lord, and he has set that up for her. He knows the path that he has for her. And you are going to play a role in that, you know, in some way, but you aren't going to be all of the role. You aren't going to be everything. And so that's where, again, it's that whole temperance. It's like asking God, what is it, you know, in her faith journey that you've asked me? What part have you asked me to play in it?
Yeah.
And there's a humility there, like in letting go of everything else and trusting in God, because God is God. Like, he's got a plan. And trusting that he has a plan for your wife to be as intimate and as close as she possibly can to him. And you play a role, but you don't play the entire role.
Right. And his desire for your wife's holiness greatly exceeds your desire for your wife's holiness.
Infinitely exceeds.
Right. Which is so cool. You're like, God, I'm really struggling with this, you know, and it's like, well, guess what? I desire it more than you do. Also, I have a bigger toolkit than you do.
Yes, so that's right.
Yeah.
And so there's a humility that comes with that, because I know that, you know, this has happened to me in the past is, you know, and whether it's my kids or my wife or other people in my life, I want to see growth, you know, in this way. I want to see growth this first, this next, you know, and this much progress by this amount of date and things like that. And I can get pretty, you know, micromanagey about that, you know, pretty critical even about that. But I just need to take my pride and check it at the door. It's like, you are not the savior, Matt.
Yeah.
Like, shut your mouth and let God be God.
But there's ego that has happened for me in the other way as well.
Yeah.
Where my wife has been on a spiritual train. And I'm like on a spiritual crawl, you know, and it's just like she's zooming. And I don't know if you've ever played the lottery and someone else has played the lottery. Like if we both bought a lotto ticket and you won $1 million and I won $0.
Yeah.
I can't be mad at you. I have to be happy for you. Like, hey, this is great. I'm happy for you. I'm happy to see that the Lord is working in this way in your life. But sometimes what ends up happening is we feel insecure to be like, oh, Jesus isn't hanging out with me in that way.
Uh-huh.
And I think that sometimes shapes our disposition. And so not only when you see growth areas, but also when you see acceleration that you don't have.
Yeah.
We have to be champions in that area as well of like, oh, great. You got an Every Sacred Sunday journal and you're writing 700 words every homily. Like, this is, I am happy for you.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to feed the little one Cheerios while you end up writing a novel during, you know, the homily. Like, it's fine. Like, let's see how we can champion each other in those moments. And I think that gives us more permission in the other moments to be like, hey, I've noticed that you haven't brought your journal to Mass lately. Is everything okay?
Yeah,
I just don't feel like the Lord is speaking to me. Well, what have you done to try? Okay, let me journey with you, or how can I support you? Or God forbid, just listen. Just, oh, that's hard. How are you feeling about that? Yeah.
Yep. That brings up a good point, you know, is, the jealousy is not good, in our faith journey, you know, but with regards to recognizing how the Lord is moving in their life and sharing that, like when you see your wife do something that you just know, like the Holy Spirit was involved in, tell her, like, let her know, like, hey, you know, like what I just saw you do with the kids was beautiful. And I can absolutely see God working in you through that. you know, don't make it up. Don't be cheesy. I mean, don't be Chris Bartlett, you know, about it. Sorry, guys. If you don't know Chris,
no, he's super cheesy. Right now. I'll do it right now. Hey, sweetheart, the way that you just made our kids lunch and just served them was literally like poetry come to life. It was absolutely beautiful. The Holy Spirit was radiant through you, and I'm just so blessed to be able to be an ear listening to the symphony of your love.
The way you spread that mayonnaise was like the breath of God, like the movement of the Holy Spirit. No, like, nothing like that. Like, that's way too cheesy. But like genuine moments when you just like are in awe, you know, of your wife and what she's doing in the home. And like, I am not a words of affirmation person. That is like one of the like lowest levels of my ability to share love.
As someone that is supervised by you in a professional setting, I am very well aware that you are not a words of affirmation person.
And my wife is definitely a words of affirmation person. And so I especially have to pay attention to those things. And I know that those moments go a long way, not just in her as a human, like feeling loved, but also in her spiritual life. Like, oh, like I'm bearing fruit in my life, and Matt recognized that fruit. And I must have, you know, a good connection with God or something like that. There's power in that. And so don't shy away from compliments in general, but especially when you see the Lord moving in a way, because that actually helps people recognize their giftedness, like where they're gifted. Like, God uses us to tell people where they're gifted.
Yep.
So we need to share that, you know, that, hey, you have a real gift of self-sacrifice. And I think it's beautiful, you know, different things like that. And that obviously is something that God does. Like, Jesus is, you know, self-sacrifice. And,
so we've talked about affirming the positive. We've talked about the interpersonal reality, like your relationship with your wife and then her relationship with the Lord. Like, we need to be in a good spot before we can really say, hey, sweetheart, I know we just fought about this or whatever, and now I also need to tell you, you need to pray more. Like, that's not going to be a good thing. So Matt, what would you recommend? So let's say that you are in a situation where you're trying to be the spiritual leader of the house and you're recognizing that, like, it's actually harder to get your wife to Mass than the kids to Mass, right? Mm. Or you recognize that there's just a pattern of prayer or something that's just off. How do you have that conversation? How do you love your wife in this area without starting a war?
I think it might simply be finding a way to pray together. Like, and you could even say, you know, my thought is, and again, you can tell me how this would go or not, but hey, honey, I've noticed, you know, that something is off, you know, in the family, maybe even between us. Can we just sit down and pray about that and try to, like, listen to God, ask God, like, what that is, and then actually go and pray together. And I don't know if you're watching this and you don't have a regular prayer life with your wife, or you don't pray with your wife often, that may be foreign, you know, to start with. But even like saying like something like, honey, I want to be closer to you. Can we pray together? Like, most wives out there desire to be closer to their husband, you know, and sharing like spiritual intimacy at that level is sometimes, you know, more desirable of our wives than physical intimacy. And so when we express a desire for that, it's unlikely they're going to say no, unless they are uncomfortable with prayer, you know. But that, like, that right there would be something that they would feel internally, and they may even get like start to wonder why, you know, why don't I want to do that? You know, what is keeping me away from that? You know, that may even be something that you could pray with them about. It's like, you know, even if you sense hesitation to that, honey, I sense hesitation to that. Can we pray about why, you know, there would be hesitation to that or something? I don't know.
So,
yeah, but it's not a you're doing this, you know, kind of mentality.
Right. Yeah. First of all, I liked how something seems off. You're not like, you seem off. And then they're all like, walls, right?
I'm all holy and everything's going fine on my end. What's going on?
Something in here stinks and it ain't me. So I think that's important that you're like, hey, there's something off, and it's not, and it very well could be you you know, there's a misalignment. Let's take that to the Lord. But you mentioned that your wife had kind of words of affirmation as one of her love languages. And I imagine yours is probably physical touch a little bit more than hers or something like that. There's different languages, but I also think there's kind of prayer styles, right?
Yep.
And so I know people when one of the spouses is like, hey, let's pray together. And the other one is filled with anxiety because one of them can just go like, you know, like a Protestant
spontaneous
pastor.
Prayer.
Father God, we thank you so much. And the other person, okay, now it's your turn. And it's like, Hail Mary. Yeah. And they're just able to stick to rote prayers in a public setting. But if you're, so it might be worth saying, hey, sweetheart, how would you be comfortable with us praying together? And it might be, well, let's both get in our comfy chairs and put 20 minutes on the clock and make this a prayer room for 20 minutes after we put the kids to bed.
Yeah,
and now we're praying together, yeah. Even though we're not praying like together, like talking to each other and to God. We're just talking to God, but we're in the same room.
Yeah. And in that instance, it could be even that, like you say, hey, let's pray together, you know, and don't worry, you know, about how we're going to pray. You know, we'll talk about that when we get there. But, you know, say, hey, I just want to take 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, for us to just focus on what's off and ask God what that is. You know, would you like to do it, you know, in silence? Would you like to do it by praying the rosary? Or would you want to do spontaneous prayer with me, you know, or whatever it is? And because as in my mind, as long as the focus is on what's off, then what matters is the discussion after that time of prayer. You know, you've asked the Lord to enter into that. You've asked the Lord to show you, each of you, you know, what's going on. And then y'all talk about it, you know, and that would be, you know, the time for the typical, you know, I feel language rather than right. You do this or whatever. You know, I feel like this is what's happening or I feel this or whatever. But those discussions after that time of prayer is what's important, you know, that not what's important because prayer is more important, but you know, that's where the rubber meets the road, you know, in having things change moving forward.
Yeah. And so I guess the first piece is, do you have a prayer style with your spouse, right? Yeah. I think it's actually easier, especially if you have kids, and it's a Catholic dad show, so you should probably have kids. If not, go make some, right? You have our permission if you're married. So, because that's, oh, good. Hey, sweetheart, Chris finally gave us permission. Oh, thank goodness. We've been waiting for years, you know? But sometimes it's easier to say, let's pray with the kids and establish a routine as a family. Because everyone's like, yes, help for the children. Let's do it for the sake of the children. And then say, well, we do this when we pray as a family with the kids. What if we adapt that a little bit? Because clearly we can do this together when it's the kids are present. Now let's take the kids out of the picture and adapt it that way. Like, I think that's a good stepping stone if you don't already have a prayer routine with your spouse. I need to get back into my prayer routine. Kendra and I used to pray every night before we went to bed. Mm-hmm. And anyways, Far Cry 6 gets in the way of us going to bed at the same time. But yeah, so.
That's funny. How about you? What's your answer to that? Or is it similar to what I just said? Like when there is an area of growth that you recognize, like you mentioned, like if your wife won't even come to mass with you, you know, or something like that. What is it
right. That,
how do you address? Like, I guess like, if you see something specific that, you know, needs to be done, whether like she hasn't been to confession in, you know, a couple of years or a couple of months, or, you know, she's hesitant to go to mass or different things like that.
Yeah. I fumble the ball on this one more than I carry it. and so it's, hey, God's been working a lot of areas in your heart. Have you opened up this room? Like, what's going on? And so there's two things. One is, and this is something I think my wife does beautifully as well. I mentioned Far Cry 6. It's a video game. I mentioned it earlier. I was like addicted to video games. I am not addicted to video games anymore. I enjoy and they're compelling, but by no means am I addicted to video games any longer. And so she started praying for me. And so the first thing before we pray with our spouse, we need to pray for our spouse. And the second thing is actually something that they mentioned at the Encounter School of Ministry is like, if you're going to talk to someone about an issue and they're like, and people come to us all the time and say, how should I confront the issue? And our response is, what did Jesus tell you to do? Mm. Right. And so to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm worried about my wife. what should I do to move forward? And then listen, like I believe and we believe that the Lord will speak to us, that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus. And we desire that for our spouse. But why not draw on that relationship? Like, I believe that we can make demands on our God. Like we have not because we ask not. And so we should make demands on our God and say, God, I need you to tell me what the next step is here because I want my wife to be closer to you. How can we navigate this, you know? And so those would be the two things. But also dialogue. It's fine to bring up in conversation. Just, hey, how's your walk with Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to talk about it. It's like maybe it's because she's not having a good walk with Jesus. Or maybe the last time she was vulnerable, you said, hey, Matt's messaging me. He wants to play Far Cry 6, so I got to bounce. You know, maybe there's another issue that's going on. It's not the spiritual walk, but it's the spousal walk that's a concern. And that's why I feel like this is just a mixed up ball of yarn, which is why when my wife literally prayed me off of my addiction to video games, she did it through a novena to Our Lady Undoer of Knots. And so to lean on some of the saints and the resource of the body of Christ that we have to lean on.
For sure. Yeah, the most powerful thing you can do for your wife's spiritual journey is to pray for her.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's like, and we've come to that at the end of the podcast, or the end of the show. Like,
But here's the most Catholic wrong way to do it. You ready?
Yeah.
You start going to all of her friends. Hey, I know you're close to Kendra. And it seems like she's just been really short lately and really struggling with things. And you start like accidentally Catholic gossiping.
Oh, yep.
Like all of a sudden.
About your wife.
Yeah. Her mother-in-law, your mother is like, hey, sweetie, how are you doing with all these things? Like Chris said that you weren't doing these things well. And then you're like, you're basically sleeping on the couch for a month. So I think it's important to guard that intimacy because it's a very vulnerable and personal thing that we don't overshare in other ways. That aren't welcome or that would shed bad light, because it's the personal relationship with God. The fact that we have the ability to speak into and witness our wife's journey with Jesus is one of the most intimate things that we'll ever be privileged to in the life of another person.
Amen.
And so to guard that and to steward that well is an important factor.
Amen. Well, thanks, guys, for joining us today. I'm sure we just scratched the surface. If there are any other like tips or pointers that you guys have, send them in the comment below. Shoot me an email, matt@ablaze.us, and let me know. If you've made it this far, like this thing, subscribe, share it with someone. We need to get the word out.
One last thing I want to talk about is there's a mom's group that has what they call men's days. So every Wednesday is a men's day. Every Wednesday, they, as a mom's group, make a sacrifice. They offer up a suffering, or they fast from something, or for their husbands. And so along with it, not just pray, but to sacrifice for your wife as well on a spiritual level. She does not have to know about it for it to be effective. God.
Amen.
God will make it effective. So as husbands, as fathers at the Catholic Dad Show, you guys, we can change the world through the good work that we're doing. And we don't change it alone. We change it with our spouses. So make sure that we are seeking to get our wives to heaven as well.
Amen.
And we will see you next time on the Catholic Dad Show.
Bye, guys.